Good morning, Canyon Springs family. How are you guys doing? Fantastic. All right, I don't know if you ever played this game. I'm sure you've observed this game. If you haven't, at least played this game. And that is Catch Me, Daddy. You got little kids? See this? You know, you're on the playground. Your kid crawls up something high and then hurls their body, and you're the only thing standing between them and the emergency room. You know what I'm talking about?
It's not muted.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, that's...
I had it muted. I just wanted to go on record to say that that was my fault, and not the sound people. Nah. You want me to start over? So, this game of, you know, I don't do it anymore. I don't play Catch Me Daddy anymore. You know, my youngest child is 5'8". You know, if she jumps at me, I'm in the IR. ER. Whatever. Play the video. Roll the video. We'll start it over. You know, it's fun, and we had a great time playing it, and I just remember a couple times. The only problem with this game as we played it with growing up is that I didn't always know that I was playing the game. You know, sometimes the only indicator, you know what I'm talking about, right? The only indicator I had was that all of a sudden a child was hurling themselves at me, and I had to catch them. And I think I did a pretty good job. I remember one time in particular, I'm tying my shoes on the bed, and my son is running, racing off of the bed, trying to kill himself. And I have to grab him right before he hits the ground and save his life. He still hasn't thanked me. Another time, there was one time when neither one of us thought that we were playing the game. And he was about 3 years old, and I'm rocking my daughter. My daughter is back from college. She's now 18. But she was like 3 or 4 months old at the time, and I'm just rocking her, and my son is on the couch, and he stands up on the armrest of the couch, and he trips, and he starts to head straight down, head first. And so, just in pure reaction, I just reached out, and I grabbed him, and I stopped him, and saving his life. Now, there's only one problem with that. The arm I reached out with was the arm I was actually holding my daughter with. And so she did a 180, flipped and landed straight on the ground. But she's fine, she's 18, look, she's right here, she's good. But it just goes to show, you know, there are times in your life when really, you have to decide which child you love the most. Figure that out. Now, if you're gonna be a child and you're gonna play the game, Catch Me Daddy, what does it take? It takes trust, doesn't it? You have to know that whoever you're jumping to is going to catch you. And as far as I remember, I was reliable and I caught him every time. Now, some of us, when we look back on our lives, we had reliable people to jump to. That our daddies were always there to catch us, and there are other people that their daddies weren't necessarily there to catch them. And to be quite honest with you, I think I always caught them when they were jumping when they were little. But I don't know that I was always there exactly in the way that they needed me growing up. I'm just a fallible dad like everybody else. This game of Catch Me Daddy isn't just a parent-child game either. It's a game we play with God too, right? And we have to get to that place. We wonder, God, in this thing I am jumping into this deep that I am going into, are you reliable? Will you catch me? Can I trust you with my life? We all have to get there, don't we? That's a hard place to get. I have a verse. I love this verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. That's a fantastic verse, isn't it? It's a really great verse. But have you ever tried to live that? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Everything. Don't lean on your understanding. Just lean on what God says. Are you good at that? I'm hit and miss. All my heart. You get to this place in your life where it's, you know, I've been thrown into the deep. God, why did I get back that medical report? I don't know that I trust you with this. God, my kid's struggling, and she's made some mistakes, and I don't know where she's at in her life. I'm really having a hard time trusting you with this one. God, my work is so up in the air. I don't see how you could be in this. How do I jump to you? But God, look, I feel like you're calling me to join this ministry and to help with this and to leap out in faith and do this. I just don't know if I jump, if you're going to be there to catch me. It's really all about trust. If I jump, will you catch me? Boy, there's nothing more important than when we're going into the deep than knowing that the person that we're going in with is very trustworthy. So my prayer is that we would be able to realize that today. We'd be able to take that step into the deep. So as we begin, I want you to just do this. Why don't you take a moment and bow your head and pray. You came in with a bunch of distractions. Lay those at God's feet. Just say, God, would you speak to me in this moment right now? Take a moment of solitude. Dear God, I pray that you would help us to meet you here, that you go beyond my words, that you speak directly to each one of us. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, I want to start out with one of my favorite verses. This is a verse that I have memorized, but I'm going to read it so I don't blow it in front of you. Check this out. In this verse, God gives you lots of benefits. See if you can point them out. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What do you get in that verse? You get hope, right? In fact, it says you get overflowing hope. Anybody want joy? Anybody all in for joy? Yeah, I think I'm good. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Anybody missing some peace right now? Look, God gives you all of these things. There's only one responsibility you have in these verses. What is it? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust. And then if you trust, he helps you overflow with hope. And it's not even by your own strength, it's by his power. Man, does anybody want that? Well, for us to find that, we're going to look into a case study of how the people of Israel, God challenged the people of Israel to find this. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to open up your book, your Bibles, the book of Isaiah. All right? And if you don't know where Isaiah is, tough. I actually have a... We had a... table of contents here that I flashed up, but it doesn't even have Isaiah on there, so it's totally worthless. So, look at your table of contents. Let me give you some background as you're looking through your table of contents. At this point in the life of Israel, they weren't walking away from God. They were in a full-on sprint, and they got themselves in so much trouble that the Assyrian government, the army was upon them, and God was going to allow the Assyrian army to destroy the people of Israel. I know that sounds really harsh, but listen, these people would run and run and run and run and run away from God as quickly as they can. And they're looking for anything to solve this problem of being destroyed. And in Isaiah 30, verse 1, we find out what that is. God says this to them, "Woe to the obstinate children." They had run so long, that's how God called them. You are obstinate children. "Woe to the obstinate children," declares the Lord, "to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance, but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin, who go down to Egypt without consulting me, who look for help to Pharaoh's protection, to Egypt's shade for refuge." They were looking for help, so they decided to go to Egypt. And maybe Egypt will be able to help us. Now, the reality is, Egypt wasn't strong enough at that point to help anybody outside of Egypt. But they thought, Egypt is strong, they'll help us. Okay, let's see how you do on this little quiz. We're going to test your knowledge of Jewish holidays. Okay, what is the number one Jewish holiday? And we'll throw Hanukkah out. Okay, that's great for getting gifts, but we'll throw that one out. Anybody know what the number one Jewish holiday is?
Passover.
On Passover, what are they celebrating? They are celebrating the fact that God saved them out of where? Egypt. And yet, they're in trouble. Where do they go? I mean, they were enslaved by Egypt for hundreds of years. And this is where they're running. Man, if we just go to Egypt, we'll be all good. Look at verse 3. The Pharaoh's protection will be your shame. Egypt's shade will bring you disgrace. Though they have officials in Zoan, and their envoys have arrived in Hanes. Okay, everybody's in their underwear, right? Pathetic, isn't it? I've been waiting all week to say that line. Everyone will be put to shame because of a people useless to them who bring neither help nor advantage, but only shame and disgrace. You know, instead of running to God, they ran to somebody else, and it's just not going to work out. And God is going to deliver them over to the Assyrian army. And I know that sounds awful, but listen, God had sent prophets, he had sent priests, he had sent person after person after person to tell these people to turn around, and they just wouldn't do it. And so God is going to use a difficult situation to help them remember that God is God. Boy, I'm sure glad God never brings difficult situations in my life to help me remember him. And if you're new, that's sarcasm. Look at me at verse 15. This is God's bailout plan for Israel. All right? You try to run to Egypt, that's not going to work. This is what you should do. Verse 15. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says: in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. Now, wait a second here. We're being attacked by the Assyrian army, this massive army that's going to destroy us. And what's your word to us? Take a nap. Let's play the quiet game. Did you ever play that? Try to do that with your kids? Let's see who can be the quietest. Really, God? That's your answer? Listen, in these four words is God's answer for you in the deep. And here's how we're going to look at it. It says, in repentance and rest is your salvation, and quietness and trust is your strength. Trust is the goal. It's the last one. It's the other three words that get us to that goal. So we're going to look at those right now. And the first one is repentance. Right? Now, repentance is a directional statement. You're walking this way, and God says, no, you need to walk this way. All right? You're walking away from me, and you need to walk towards me. That's what it means to repent. The people of Israel weren't walking away from God. They were running away from God. And this will be the result in their life. Verse 16, you said, no, we'll flee on horses. And God says, therefore, you'll flee. You said, we'll ride off on swift horses. Therefore, your pursuers will be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five, you'll all flee away. Till you are left like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. You're going to be all alone. Because you ran to the wrong person. And so you're going to be continually running and running and running. Rather than running to God, they ran to other people. Now, I have a question for you. Do you ever feel in your life like you are on the run? Anybody ever feel that way? Do you know who that describes in my life? Everybody I know. Everybody is on the run. We are what I would consider as a culture hurry sick. We have a hurry sickness. We got to get there. We got to get there quick, and I can prove it to you, all right? You're in a car. You drive up to a light, and there are two cars in front of you in the two lanes. Do you or do you not choose a lane based on the year, make, and model of the car that you think is going to leave the quickest? Anybody ever do that? Okay, let me give you another one. You're in the checkout stand. You're looking, you're all ready, you got all your groceries, and you're walking up to the checkout stand. Do you or do you not look at the different lines? And based on how many people are in line, how many items they have, how old the checker is, choose your line. Anybody ever do that? Yeah, like all the time. And here's how to know if you're really hurry sick, okay? If you're really hurry sick, not only do you choose the line, but then you look at the other line that you almost chose and you find the person that would have been you to see if you beat them. Right? This is how we live our lives. Tell me if you think that this quote fits us. This is actually from Alice in Wonderland. The Red Queen says this. Now here you see, it takes all the running you can do to keep in the same place. If you want to get somewhere else, you must run at least twice as fast. That's us. Now, why do we run? I guess there's probably thousands of answers why we run. But I have an idea of what I think one of them is. It's security. We want to find security. And so we run at work. We're busy, busy, busy. Run. Try, if I just succeed enough, I'll have security in my work. And then maybe it's money. And if I just succeed enough, and I get enough, and I save enough, and I have enough money in my bank account, then I'll have security. And if I do well enough at my work and try hard enough, then maybe the people around me will look at me and they'll value me, and that'll help with my insecurity. You know, we look at the Old Testament and we go, man, these people in Israel are so dumb. You know, God saved them time and time again, and look, they're just still looking for security in all the wrong places. We laugh. I can't believe they do that. Man, it's us, isn't it? Running to something besides God for security. Over and over again. Let me tell you something. Anything that you run to besides God for your security is a mistake. It's a miss in your life. Now, I'm not saying that all those things are bad. I want you to have retirement, and I want you to do well at work, and I want you to run after your children and take care of them. Those are all good. But what are you running to first? What's first? Look, in repentance. Stop running away. Start running to. That's your salvation, repentance. In repentance and rest, actually, is your salvation. You know, you might be thinking, well, how does rest get us to trust? Here's how rest gets us to trust. Rest is the reset button in our life. Here's a quote. Wayne Muller put it like this. If we stop, if we return to rest, our natural state reasserts itself. Our natural wisdom and balance come to our aid, and we find our way to what is good, necessary, and true. We gotta be rested. Another quote. Arch Hart, he wrote a book called Sleep, It Does a Family Good, and he said this, sleep is, in essence, the food the brain needs to survive, and not getting sufficient sleep is like starving your brain. It can be harmful, even life-threatening. Remember that God created us to sleep. Sleep deprivation can seriously interfere with your relationship with Him. And in that book, he suggests that every person get between 7.5 and 8 hours of sleep, and not only get that much sleep, but you have to be in bed for 9 hours to get 8 hours of sleep. But nobody that I know, I don't know if you live that way, but certainly nobody ever talks about it. It's almost shameful in our culture. I mean, you never have somebody say, how you doing? I am well rested. We don't talk like that. We're just the opposite. You know, oh man, I'm getting up at 5 o'clock. I'm exhausted. This is like a badge of courage for us to be exhausted. And quite honestly, I'm the same way, man. The only time you ever get me talking about how much sleep I got is the one morning every 2 weeks when I meet with the guys at 6:30 in the morning. And then I got to tell everybody when I got up that morning. Just the way we are. You want shame in your life? Here, I can give you a great place to put shame in your life. You ready? You want this? Go to work and admit that you took a nap. Have you ever heard that phrase? Don't get caught napping. Let me tell you what, man. If I ever take a nap, which I never do, I would never do that. But if I ever do, and I'm laying at home, and I fall asleep, and I hear the garage door come up, I get up. What were you doing? Well, not napping. Wasn't taking a nap. Listen, rest is important. On the seventh day, God rested. Jesus rested. Mark 6:31. Because so many people were coming and going, they didn't even have a chance to eat. He said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place. Let's get some rest. We need it. It's the reset button in our life. Now, it has been difficult in our home to get rest over the last couple weeks. And you know why? 3 weeks ago maybe, I get a phone call from my wife. Hey, honey, I've been looking around the house. I think we have mice. Have you ever lived this? You know what? I can sleep if there's mice in our house. I don't know what it is. I can sleep. My wife has this sense that the mouse is going to get up on top of our bedstand and pounce. And she can't sleep. And so I get that phone call, and immediately I know what I got to do. I got to go to Dixie Line, and I got to go get me some sticky traps. So I go get sticky traps, put peanut butter in, and I put them, you know, all over. One day, 2 days, nothing. So I have a call friend who works at Dixie Line. Hey, bring me some more. He brings me twice as much as I have. I put them everywhere. Finally, after a week, I see a sticky trap out where it's not supposed to be, but no mouse. It's just covered in gray fur. So like he got in it, and then he did. Some just super mouse. So I bring in Rocky, the pest control guy, and he looks at my house, and he looks at the drops, and he goes, you don't have a mouse. You got a rat. By the way, that did not encourage my wife. Get a rat running through our house. And so she's sleeping. We got the door closed. The dog's right next door. You know, that's not going to do anything. That rat could walk all over my dog. He would not care. Finally, after a week of this, we set these big, giant, gnarly snap traps. Nothing. This is the smartest rat ever. He's totally got it figured out. So one night, I'm laying in bed. My son comes up about 10:30 at night and says, Dad, I just saw it. Walking across the kitchen. He comes in an hour later, Dad, I saw it again. So we built this little structure in our kitchen, because he was living behind the oven, in our kitchen, so that it would lead, and we let the back door open, so he'd lead, and then it was going to do one of two things. He was going to walk out, or he was going to get all his friends and come back in. Hey, man, I got a grate in here. Check it out. You know what? Since that day, we haven't seen it since. He let it go. And the next day I bought a BB gun and I was going to pop it. But he left. Now, listen. We couldn't sleep because something was gnawing away at our sleep. We could hear it in our walls. But there's lots of things that can gnaw away at your sleep. I got to go to bed, but I got to check my email just one more time. I got to go to bed, but there's just a couple things at work I just want to make sure I fix. I'm going to go to bed. Before I go to bed, I want to see just all the awful things that are happening in the world right before I go to bed. I just flip on the news and find out if somebody blew up and where and how close it was to my house. Do I do that? That's us. the only difference between you and me is I didn't invite the pest into my house. You invite the pest into your house all the time. Isaiah 32, verse 17. I don't know if this is on screen, but this is a great verse. It says, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. Its effects will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. How good are you at making your home into an undisturbed place of rest? Ah. Let me give you a couple recommendations. Go home and put your cell phone away where you can't reach it. Stop checking email late at night. Because you know you get the email from the one irritating person at work and you're so bugged and you want just to kill you, right? He's going to bug you. You're going to rehearse this conversation you have all night. Just put it away. Don't check it. Don't watch the news late at night. Guys, in repentance and rest is your salvation. Hit the reset button. And repentance and rest is your salvation. And quietness and trust is your strength. Number three, quietness. Gotta get to a place where you gotta get to some solitude in your life. That's important. God says it's important. He says it right here. But you know how hard it is to find quietness in our culture? Anybody with me? You know, when I was starting this church, I didn't have an office, so I'd go to different places in community, like Starbucks, and I'd go to a hotel and different places to work, and nothing is quiet. There is piped in music everywhere, and you're working outside, and there's piped in music. You're working inside, there's piped in music. Then you get in the elevator, there's piped in music. Right? Sounds something like this. Guys, hey, sounds something like this. Right? Some really good song that they've emasculated. Anybody name this song? That's right, Sweet Child of Mine. Anybody know? Okay, you can turn it up. Anybody know what kind of music is that? It's called Muzak. It's not the real song that you like. It's the song that you like that they've ruined, right? And they play this all over the place. I've got this is just for fun. I got a couple more. See if you can name these tunes. Get ready. Here you go. Another one bites the dust. Doesn't that sound beautiful? Okay, here, check this one. I like this one. This one might take you a while. Next song. Great song, man. It's Back in Black by AC/DC. That's good. That's good. Thank you. So funny. You know, I do a lot of weddings. And people actually play this music at their wedding because they want music that they like, but they don't want grandma to be offended. And so grandma's like, wow, this is really good music. What is it? Well, that's Hell's Bells, grandma. They do a lot of other stuff. I think you really like it. At this point, you're probably wondering, what does it always have to do with quiet? Listen, let me tell you about the company Muzak, right? Muzak Holdings is actually the name of the company. And years ago, they got in the business of background music, and here's why. The company began by creating music for businesses to increase productivity. The music was programmed in 15-minute blocks, gradually getting faster in tempo and louder and brassier in instrumentation to encourage workers to speed up their pace. This is called stimulus progression. And then they got into malls. And then they got into shopping centers. And this is how Muzak sees itself now. Muzak is into a sensory overload system used to manipulate buying habits. Muzak Holdings is now worth $345 million to manipulate you when you're in a store to buy more, to manipulate you when you're at the office to work harder. Now, what does that have to do with our lives? Boy, it is a perfect picture of what's going on in our culture. Because all throughout our culture, we have these sounds. We have these messages that we get. We get them on our computers, and we get them in music, and we get them as we're walking through malls all the time, over and over and over, and they sound something like, you need to buy this. You need to do this. This is what's accepted sexually. Over and over and over, we get these messages, and they're on our computers. They're everywhere. And the message is basically one thing. Look, you don't need God. And it's not trying to tell us, hey, you know, just go. Why don't you just go ahead and worship Satan, you know, become a Raider fan, and you know, do all the evil, just be really super evil. All these messages just do one thing. In the noise, they nudge you away from God. And it is only in quietness and solitude that we can get back to center and what is really important, what really matters. I love this quote. John Ortberg put it like this. Solitude is the one place where we can gain freedom from the forces of society that will otherwise relentlessly mold us. We are being relentlessly molded by our world, and we need to break away. This is the practice of solitude. I have a friend of mine, goes to Canyon Springs, Linda Szymanski. I don't know how many of you know her. And she's great at this. Most people are not, and she's great at this. And I asked her to what would you say? You had the chance to talk to these people. What would you say? And this is what she said. Solitude is creating space for God to enter in, away from the overstimulation of everyday life and exhaustion as a result, to allow him to speak to our soul, and where we're able to give him our full attention. It's where I hear God's word for me and not others' rhetoric for my life, where my soul is quiet and still, where I can see and hear with attention and reflection, with thankfulness and reverent awe, empty of self, open to God. We all need it. And quite honestly, we're terrible at it. Because this is how we live our lives. We wake up in the morning to clock radio. And we look, oh look, I got time for a run. And so we go for a run with our iPod. And then we get home and we have breakfast watching the news. And then you get in the car, and within 10 seconds, you're hitting the radio. And you listen all the way to work, and you get out, and then you have the noisiness of work, and you have lunch with somebody, and the noises continue, the music continues. And then you go to work again, more and more noise, and on the way home, you listen to talk radio and sports talk. And then you get home, and you turn on your TV. And Americans generally watch 5 hours of television a day. Let me ask you a question. You live in that, and there really is a God. Let's say there really is a God, right? And he's trying to talk to you. When are you going to hear him? When will you hear him? Let me give a couple ways to put solitude into your life. First off, you got to have a Bible, and you can just take one of ours, and you got to read it. And I had a friend of mine just challenge me. He says, man, it just feels like something on my to-do list. Let me tell you something. You got to get to the place where you've practiced it enough where it's not a to-do list item anymore. Get in the habit of opening it every day. Before you go for a run, you runner, read a couple of verses and then go for a run unplugged. On your way to work, turn your radio off. Let God speak to you. Take one lunch a week and go to a place where there is no noise and start to introduce solitude in your life. And repentance and rest is your salvation. And quietness and trust is your strength. And if you put those things in your life, you start to trust this God in the deep places. This is where he'll bring you. Verse 18 says this, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait. He's there. You got to wait for him. Let's take a moment. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, room is filled with people that are running. And God, you have so much that you want to communicate to us, but we're running. God, I pray that you would help us to find rest. And you pray that you'd help us to find quiet. And in that, that we would find our salvation. That we'd be able to really trust you in the deep places. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for meeting us here. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, it's first of the month. This is our opportunity to worship God through communion. And it's a fitting message coming off of talking about repentance and rest and being able to come before God and simply worship Him and give Him our time and our attention. And it's a great way, even especially with Easter right around the corner, of getting right and maybe just coming to your Heavenly Father as a family or individually, however you would like to do it, and just to come up here and to break the bread, to dip it, and to take it. I want to encourage you this morning that we don't always do it like this, up front like this, but it's an opportunity to just get up out of your seats and kind of take a step with God. And maybe it's been a while since you've really walked with your Heavenly Father, and you can make this a symbolic to begin that relationship.